Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
And we have got a show for you because my goodness. Or in some cases, I should say my badness. Because what a day it was in the NBA. I mean, we come off an absolutely historic, and I am not being a prisoner of the moment, an absolutely historic performance by Kevin Durant last night. And then all H-E double hockey sticks breaks loose. We find out Kawhi's hurt. We find out Chris Paul's got COVID. Coaches are being fired left and right. I mean, what a day in the association. So we're going to get all into that and much more over the next 3 hours. So you know what to do. Keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM Channel 83. All right, my partner is here. He's written about some of it, and he's taking no prisoners as usual.
Kid Dynamite!
I'm glad you said that some coaches got fired, not parted ways, Chris. As I'm right. So tired of reading. What does that mean? Yeah, you could get fired.
You got fired.
You got fired. They didn't want you, and they just trying to play nice.
Right.
You'll get your money, but this just it is funny how certain guys get departed ways and other guys just get fired.
Right. And absolutely.
And it just doesn't feel right. Stan Van Gundy got fired. Scott Brooks got fired.
Why would Stan Van Gundy part ways?
He
after
just signed
one
a
year.
New deal, right. It doesn't even make sense.
And he's got Zion Williamson.
Really?
You parted ways? Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm not buying it. But, Chris, last night after the show, I got to watch the second half. And what a basketball game it was. And I went out to a local sports bar in Culver City with
the same place you always make us go?
Was
it that place? The place you want to go all of the time. It's on Pico.
No. That's the one on Pico. West LA, not that spot, but a different one. But anyway.
I'm glad you're branching out.
Yeah, a little different.
Goodness.
Well, it wasn't my choice.
I mean,
actually, my students.
To let you talk about it, it's the best restaurant in the West on the West Coast.
Nah, my students picked it, and they're, you know, at USC, and they're going to be sports in our business, Chris.
Right.
So I watched the game with Reagan and Julio, and it was, you know, just as a guy watching the game in a sports bar setting. It was incredible because it was Milwaukee Bucks fans there and Brooklyn Nets fans there. It was a great night. It was just to be a basketball fan and watch the game. I'm with you.
Yes, definitely was a great game, great experience. And we'll get into that. And first, we want to introduce the Odd Couple crew. Of course, on the ones and twos on the Worship Wednesday, our man, DJ Alex Teichert, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan. Super producer Rob G is in the house. And on the updates, feels like it's been a while.
Wow.
That's right. David Gascon II.
Finally a professional pronouncer. Very nice.
Yes. Yeah, whatever. He'll join us on the update.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it, Rob. We talked about Kevin Durant. We'll get into that in the next hour in detail. But I mentioned the injuries. I mean, Kawhi Leonard... he's out of game 5 tonight against the Utah Jazz with a knee injury. And remember, I mentioned it yesterday. That's one reason I didn't think they had control of the series because I thought maybe this thing might be something serious. And they think it might be related to the ACL. We don't know yet, but obviously anytime you hear ACL, you cringe. So hopefully that's not the case, but they don't know for sure yet. So, and then Chris Paul, now this isn't an injury, but it could make him miss the start of the next round, the conference finals, with COVID. So we are going to get into the injuries, and Kawhi is just one. I mean, come on. Off the top of my head, the Lakers, Anthony Davis was injured. LeBron James was banged up. Kawhi Leonard, of course, is now injured. Donovan Mitchell started the playoffs injured. Mike Conley has yet to play in this round for the Utah Jazz. Am I missing anybody? Chris Paul
was
banged up with the shoulder, right?
We don't have enough time.
Yeah, I mean, he was banged up with the shoulder injury. The East Coast, Trae Young's playing through a shoulder injury. Joel Embiid's got a torn meniscus. Kyrie Irving sprained his ankle. James Harden's coming back from a hamstring last night.
It's unbelievable.
I'm missing somebody. Jaylen Brown was out. Jason Tatum got hurt.
Yep.
In Boston series. I mean, it was ridiculous and is ridiculous, the number of injuries. And Rob, I tweeted this out. No disrespect at all, because I proudly voted for Nikola Jokic's MVP. But injuries played a large role, dare I say, determined the MVP.
Well, I mean, there were guys who were playing at an MVP caliber, and they got hurt.
Yep.
And, you know, when you miss a lot of games, and you got to give Jokic you know, some credit, Chris, that he did play well. You talked about his numbers. He did. He was available every game, right? He played every game.
Every game, which is really
and
impressive.
He kept winning.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, even after Jamal Murray got hurt. So I don't think anybody's, like, second-guessing it. And the other guys weren't available. They just missed too many games.
But the point is this. Just the injuries had a lot to do with the MVP voting. And Rob, and we've seen it before, but not to this level. Injuries are going to have a large say in who wins this championship. Because the Clippers could win the championship with Kawhi Leonard. Especially if Brooklyn's compromised, but then injuries could affect that. You know, so it's one of those years, man. And like I said, it's happened before. You know, remember Isaiah Thomas with the injury when they lost their first finals to the Lakers? He had the ankle injury. His great performance in game 6, but didn't have much on that ankle in game 7. And then the next year when Detroit won their first championship, Magic Johnson only played like 75 minutes because of a hamstring injury. So injuries have determined things before, but this, I've never seen anything like this, Rob.
No, this is as historic as Kevin Durant's play. I mean, for real. We just have not seen this. And the stars, you know, like I just don't remember this many stars being hurt at one time. And it's like and some of the stuff you look at, you go, really? Like they're out from that? Like there was no contact, Chris. There
was
nothing.
Sometimes those are the worst knees.
No, I know. Well, you're not even doing anything. Right. Like sometimes you can look at it and go, okay, he came down on his ankle or he did this or he did that. You know, like you can look at it and go, oh, that was ugly. Right. But then you just look at some of the other ones and you don't see anything and you go, really? So I've never seen anything like it. I think, you know, I wrote a column earlier this week about it on Deadspin. Just like it won't be about the best team in the NBA. It'll be about the healthiest team.
Yep.
The healthiest team in the NBA might just be the champion this year. And that's
no question.
Just the way it's going to be.
No question. And LeBron James was tweeting about it and he is none too pleased. Rob G, summarize. He put out several tweets. Why don't you summarize kind of what LeBron was saying?
Here we go, guys. This is what he said. They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted
LeBron coming with force
to protect the well-being
that's
of the players.
Base. When y'all hear me say with base, that's base.
Which ultimately is the all caps product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's the lack.
Did he say these injuries is or are?
Isn't.
Isn't. Yeah, help him out on the grammar.
Yeah, the grammar was not great.
He was in a rush.
Okay. It's the lack of pure rim rest, which is rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, the most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our favorite players, it's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me, all caps. I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now. Here's this for you, Chris. And I know all about the business side, too. Factors. So don't even try me.
Tell him, LeBron. Tell him, baby. That's
well, you know
Grace.
What? Hey, Rob G and Chris, LeBron has plenty of time to tweet. He ain't in the playoffs. He's got plenty of time. Sorry, LeBron. Sorry about that.
I'm going to say this. As much as I, you know, I'm joking the base and all that, and I don't have a problem with LeBron tweeting that. Here's what I'm going to say, though. I don't think it's all. I do think the condensed offseason is a factor. But they did play 72 games instead of 82. Guys did rest during the regular season. I mean, gosh, Rob, you know this. I was picking all NBA teams and my awards, and so many guys played between 50 and 65 games, or 50 to 60 games instead of 72. And so here's the thing. Let's run it down. Kevin Durant was injured this year, right? Played 35 games. Had nothing to do with the bubble. He wasn't in the bubble, right? Kyrie Irving, out with a sprained ankle. Can't blame that on the bubble. Kyrie wasn't in the bubble. Kyrie played 20 games last year. He's had plenty of rest. Trae Young, not injured, but hurt. You know, he's got the shoulder. Wasn't in the bubble. So, I think the bubble and the condensed offseason, yes, a factor. But, Rob, you and I have talked about this before, and I think we talked about it last week. In basketball and baseball, you are seeing more injuries than ever. Football, obviously, that's just – you can get hurt any play in football. But basketball and baseball, where the nutrition is better, the travel is better, the equipment is better, the sneakers are better in basketball, the weight training is better, and guys seem to be getting hurt more often than ever. And, Rob, I think a big part of it is – they don't rest in the offseason at all. I mean, they get done, they take a week or two off, and then they're back at it. When you and I were coming up, and even later than that, guys would take the summer off. And then you would work your way into shape during training camp. And I think the body needs a break. And so part of me is like, okay, we railing against condensed off seasons, but yet then I just read Damian Lillard is going to Tokyo for the Olympics, and you know all these guys are going playing the Olympics. Can we stop sending the NBA players to the Olympics now? We've reestablished our supremacy already.
Yeah,
right?
I'm with you.
We needed to reestablish. Right? We getting beat by Lithuania and all that. Enough of that. We've reestablished supremacy. And now, like you said, Rob, either college kids or college-age kids. How about that? Or even, how about 23 and under or something like that, right?
I'm fine with that, but NBA guys don't need to go.
Yes, enough of that. Enough. So I don't want to hear about condensed offseason as long as we still sending dudes overseas for the Summer Olympics. So I just think there's a lot of factors, Rob, not just the condensed offseason, although obviously that contributed to it.
Yeah, it is a combination, for sure. But it just, you know, like sometimes perception, Chris, is reality. It just feels like it. Like I've said it a million times, covered the league since 1987. I just don't remember this. I don't remember where so many guys have been hurt and so many guys have gone down and like in the playoffs. It seems like this is more than I can remember. Maybe the league will come up with some stats or tell you something that it's the same or it's close to, but it doesn't feel that way to me. And I'm disappointed that we can't see the best players play.
Nah, and we talked about it even during the regular season. I mean, how many times was it? The Clippers and the Nets tonight?
And then we turned it on, and then...
Right, and half the stars are missing.
Not playing.
If not all of them. So, I'm with you. And Rob, and I know, let me preface this. I know it's not going to happen. But when we get our guy, Kerry Kittles on, he says, look, the pace of play now, the spacing of the floor, big seven-footers are guarding out on the perimeter. They're playing out on the perimeter. There's more space to go. He just thinks this pace, you can't keep it up. And we know the science, because that's the excuse to rest guys. The science says they shouldn't be playing. They can't play 82 games. And then the playoffs, you know, and they should. They won't. But I got to say it, because I just feel it. They should cut the season to about 60 to 65 games. And Mark Cuban said it. He said, look, a few years ago, he said, eventually you could raise the ticket prices because every game would mean that much more. Every game would have that much greater sense of urgency, so you could raise the ticket prices and ultimately make up what you lost or come close at least. And so I know if they can fill the stadium for 82 games, they're going to do it because it's about money. I get it. But I'm just saying, I mean, we can't keep having... And this is one season, so hopefully it doesn't continue. But we can't keep having guys be hurt, Rob, in the playoffs. And two, we can't keep having guys miss 15 to 20 games a season for load management either. Rob, we're going to get into Kawhi, because Kawhi has played his last back-to-back, I'm almost certain. Because he decides, you know what, I'm going to play back-to-backs. And now he's hurt. I can't imagine when he comes back that he's ever going to want to play another back-to-back.
All right, 877-99 on Fox.
877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. This is a big topic that has really impacted these playoffs. Is LeBron James right when he says the condensed offseason is the biggest reason for all these injuries? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The soulful, the inspirational sounds of Fred Hammond here on a Worship Wednesday with the Odd Couple, baby. We got Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer, coming up in about 10 minutes. Well, about 6 to 10 minutes. But first, you, 877-99 on Fox with the Odd Couple live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Do you agree with LeBron? Did LeBron call it and say this is what would happen if we started in December rather than Martin Luther King Day in January, when many of the players wanted to start, but then they buckled, including LeBron, when they saw that they could lose between $500 million and $1 billion if they waited in another month to start the season? So they played it, and now you see the results. All right, your turn to wait.
Let's do it. Let's start with Tony in Texas. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tony?
Thank you for having me on. Great show.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
I cannot disagree with you more because, I mean, if they knew they were going to start the season, I mean, you got to start, you know, getting your body in shape to play. Plus, these guys are multimillionaires. There's nothing that they can't get. A nutritionist, you know, their own cook. I mean, there's everything.
Well,
they
a lot
can
of
get
them
to
do
get
that.
In shape for their job.
I mean,
it's their job. Look at Zion Williams, how much, you know, he was overweight when he came into the league, you know, and it's all up to him to get into game shape.
What are you saying? What is your point?
So you're blaming the players?
My point is that LeBron's always blaming the league, and you never blame the players for anything, you know, and it's up to the players, you know, to get ready for the season. Now, they get a lot of load management. They miss a lot of games. Even if you cut to 65 games, there's still going to be load management. Players are still going to be sitting out games because they're going to say there's too many games.
You're probably right,
Tony,
about that.
It's hard to argue with that because they'll come up with an excuse on that.
Exactly.
All right, Tony, we got you. Keith in New Orleans. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Keith?
What's up, Uncle Rob? What's up, Uncle Chris? I have a twofold thing. My issue is twofold with the injuries. I think that the league has kind of oversaturated the NBA schedule, for one thing. So it creates no urgency, right? So the league is missing urgency with 82 games and also, new stars, right? So you have the same old guys on TV every week.
Well, we got a lot of new stars.
Right,
we got a lot of new stars.
We got a lot of new stuff, but we only see them in the playoffs. We're not seeing them in the regular season. So, you know, these guys' bodies are breaking down by the end of the season. So I think that the perfect solution for the NBA is a 60 to 65 game season. Make me want to watch. You know, I feel like I can catch the NBA in April. You know what I mean? Because these games are not important. You know, so they missed
it.
So
don't want it to be college basketball because that's where we've gone with college basketball.
Right.
Where it's about March Madness and not about the season. I used to watch college basketball, and I just don't do it regularly anymore.
And it's not just the NBA. I mean, baseball, I think that's too many games too. I mean, it's just now it's a different landscape. I mean, there's more options for people. You know, do I really need to watch a mid-season basketball or baseball game that I know really doesn't mean anything in the long run? You know, so the sports won't do it anytime soon, but I'm with his thinking, Rob, in both of these sports.
It's not going to happen because of the money that they make for the telecast. I mean, it's just that simple. It's that, Chris, not the gate anymore. You know what I mean? It's the telecast.
That's
the biggest thing. All right, let's slip in a blind Seahawks fan. In Olympia, Washington, how are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you doing?
What's up, man?
How far is Olympia from Seattle?
Oh, yeah. I saw you were in Seattle a couple days ago. It's about
a 45-minute
drive, no traffic.
Yes. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah, so I just want to say, I think partially it is the off-season, but you do have players like Kyrie Irving who, you know, didn't really, you know, they're missing a bunch of time due to personal reasons. I'm not here to judge that, but like.
No, he didn't. He played 20 games last year and no bubble, so he definitely had nothing to do
The guy before said it perfectly. 50, 65 games is the move. But the thing is these back-to-backs are probably a lot of this. I run tracks in cross-country, and, like, back-to-back, you know, they either – you don't know it, but it's really, like, you know, hard on your body when you're just going at a hard, you know, level all the time. And these NBA players are doing it a lot, so I'm sure that's a big thing. You know, shorten the season, cut out the back-to-backs if you can, and I think that'll help it a lot.
I don't think it's possible to cut them out. I mean, they would have done it if they could.
Cutting the games.
Can't do it. It's just the way it's set up.
And you remember, Robin, Marcus Johnson said it yesterday. They used to play three in a row.
Chris, and they used to be – when I traveled back then, we used to have to be on the first flight out of a city.
That's
crazy. I'm not even kidding you. By the time I started covering the league,
no, they had charter planes. But you,
Chris,
I can't even imagine y'all flying with the players.
I was on a plane with the players. And we would be on, and all the writers, we have to get on a flight because if we missed a flight in Denver, right, going to Portland or something, and you get snowed in, you can't get there.
Right.
So you got to be on the first flight in case there's delays or, you know what I mean, or cancellations, and you got to catch the next one. So that was what the policy was on a back-to-back or whatever.
And you know it, Rob. You had seven-footers sitting, imagine in those little planes.
Sitting in coach.
Right.
Because there were only a handful of first class seats, and Chris, they went by years of service, not by stardom. So like a guy who was a 10-year journeyman,
right,
would be sitting in first class, and the star who just got picked in the first round is in coach sitting next to me on the plane.
Unbelievable. Wow. All right. We got Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer, coming up. We're going to talk about all this and more with him. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And our next guest, longtime NBA writer, now doing it for Sports Illustrated. Also, the co-host of the Crossover podcast. Make sure you check that out. Does a tremendous job. Howard Beck. What's up, Howard?
Hey, hey.
What's happening, guys? How are you?
We are good,
we're
man.
We're doing better than the players in this league. My goodness.
And the coaches, apparently. So it's so much to get to. Let's just start hitting it. The injuries, Kawhi Leonard, obviously the most notable today with the knee injury. He's out tonight, maybe the rest of the series. You saw LeBron's tweets. He's blaming the condensed offseason. Where are you at on that as far as how responsible that is for these injuries? And have you talked to anybody in the league office about all these injuries? And what's kind of their viewpoint or take on it?
Well, for the very last question, we just saw Mike Bass, NBA longtime spokesman, give a couple quotes to Mark Stein of the New York Times, our former employer, Chris, telling him that basically, yeah, we appreciate LeBron's comments, but injuries are about the same rate as they've been in prior seasons. And, of course, we understand the sacrifices our players have made, blah, 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 blah. I mean, ESPN had a report by Baxter Holmes within the last week about injuries being up based on their own analysis, which clearly the NBA does not agree with. You know, look, this is hard, folks. Like, trying to determine, you know, correlation versus causation and, you know, looking at the number of injuries, especially high-profile injuries, and saying, well, it was a condensed season. Well, they had a quick turnaround, especially for the teams that went deep in the playoffs. Sure, it feels like that's the reason, but we don't know. Like, there is no scientific way to actually determine whether any or all of these injuries, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, James Harden during the season, Kevin Durant during the season, all of these, were they due to the conditions of the season? We don't know. We'll never know. And so, you know, the frustration's understandable. Tying those things together is understandable. It's possible, but it's not provable. Right. And the injury rates, the NBA says their data indicates that injury rates aren't out of line with recent seasons.
It just doesn't feel like it, Howard.
Well, it's the stars. Bigger names. That's all.
I hear what the league's saying, but it just doesn't it feel like there's more and bigger names? It just seems more this year to you or not?
Well, look, on the bigger names part of it, again, Mark Stein tweeted earlier today that he had consulted with the Elias Sports Bureau, and the number of all-stars who will have missed at least one game in this postseason is a record. So that, you know, that's something. Again, cause? Is it because of the season? We don't know. By the way, this was not the most compressed season we've seen. The, you know, I think both the 66-game lockout season and the 50-game lockout season, I think, were more compressed. Certainly 50 games in 90 days back in 99 was just an all-out sprint. Right. Now, those were different conditions in that they didn't have to get up early for COVID tests. They didn't have to, you know, their days weren't as screwed up in general. Everything about this season has been unique, mostly in a bad way. But we just don't know. As I say, we just don't know that that's the cause. It's hard to say, but it does cast a pall over these playoffs. There's no question.
What we do know is that things didn't go well in New Orleans in the first year with Stan Van Gundy. That team had way too much talent to struggle as it did. I'm not surprised that Stan was fired rather than parted ways. What did you make of what happened in New Orleans?
Yeah, I've been hearing some rumblings for about 6 weeks that things were, you know, not good there at many levels. But so it's not a shock, although it's always odd to me when, you know, you're this far from the end of the regular season, like why it took this long to decide there, or why Washington took this long to decide with Scott Brooks. And of course, in that case, he was, you know, at the end of his contract, they decide on a new contract. And the official version is we couldn't come to terms. And it sounds like they're trying to just make it sound a little nicer. Right. In New Orleans, look, I was high on the Pelicans as a lot of people were. I expected bigger things from them as a lot of people did. The West is brutal. They did underachieve. But it's also a young team, right? Like, this was Zion's first full season, if you can call it that, in the NBA. He was still like a virtual rookie. And, you know, Brandon Ingram seemed to lose his way a little bit with Zion taking on a bigger role. And did the pieces all fit? Was Steven Adams the right move for them? It just, you know, they've got talent there, but was it the right fitting talent? And it was just kind of funky. And so I don't know how much of that to put on the coach and how much of that is just where they were as a team. And that just functionally, they're just not a great defensive team. And I don't know if there was anything major you could do about that. And of course, they'd also traded Drew Holiday, who was a pretty significant piece before the season. So you lost a key veteran and a guy who set the tone defensively. So there's a lot of different ways you could, you know, interpret their failures, if you can call it that. But again, like, I don't know that they underachieved by a ton. They should have been in the running for somewhere, you know, maybe in the play-in game tournament, and they were further back than they should have been.
What do you know anything besides, you know, kind of what's kind of been put out there, the reporting on the Chris Paul situation in Phoenix?
Nothing. And this is such a frustrating thing. You know, the league defers, I think, too much to one, HIPAA and what they believe HIPAA dictates. That's, you know, the medical privacy laws. And two, what the players and the Players Association want. It's frustrating for us as the media, and I think for fans too. We don't actually know why Chris Paul's in protocols. He could have tested positive for the virus. He could simply have been in proximity to somebody else who has right. the virus. He could have gotten a false positive, and we'll later find out it was, a false positive. We won't know for days, or maybe 24 hours or something. Protocols could mean he's out for a few days. Protocols could mean he's out for a couple of weeks if he had the virus. Was he vaccinated? Was he not vaccinated? That changes the circumstances. So, no, we don't know any of it. And, you know, the league and the teams could do a hell of a lot more to inform their fans about exactly what's going on so that people aren't having to guess and speculate, sometimes right. recklessly speculate. More information, you know, more light shined on these things, clean things up in a hurry. And, you know, they have chosen to be opaque, and they have chosen to create an atmosphere where everybody instead starts speculating about somebody being sick or he didn't get vaccinated or whatever. That doesn't do anybody any good.
All right, that's our man with all the knowledge, Howard Beck. We appreciate it,
thanks,
brother.
Howard.
Great stuff.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, my man. Well, we talked about it with Howard, Stan Van Gundy getting fired in New Orleans, and Rob Parker, he got some. You talk about base? I talked about base. He got
definitely.
Some base for Stan Van Gundy. That's next. A couple Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, we are the Odd Couple. And I'm telling you, this is the song that should be blasted in the locker rooms for the Phoenix Suns and the LA Clippers. Rob? Ty Lue should bring this into the gym on a boombox. We love Kawhi, but next man up. It's a new day. Smile.
They did it in Brooklyn. You got to do it, Chris. That's just the nature of the business.
That plus James Harden.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying. But they were out without one of their big three. That wasn't their plan. I'm just saying you can't worry about people who are not around. You know, like sometimes
like
the
Stan
radio
Van
show
Gundy?
Has to keep going. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a new day in New Orleans.
It is
for
a new
real.
Day.
All right, so I'm just gonna say go.
All right, no. So what? I'm gonna for people who didn't see my Twitter. I just said it's officially fair to call Stan Van Gundy the Jesse James of the NBA with his ouster in the Pelicans. He has held up another NBA team for tons of mad loot. By the way, parted ways is just a nice way to say fired. And Chris, we talked about it, time to time, even when Antonio Daniels was on, and I thought they underachieved. I get
There's
it. They're
no
young
denying
team,
it. Right?
Huh?
There's no denying it.
They underachieved.
Yes.
I didn't think they would be that bad. When the league opened it up with the play-in and 10 teams, and you're not one of 10 teams with some of the good young talent on there, there's something wrong there. That's just the way I looked at it.
Yeah, look, Alvin Gentry, who was the coach before Van Gundy, I think they would have been better off with him because
at least they had an offense. And look, I think Stan, I can't imagine him getting another head job. This was his fourth.
His last two
have been dismal. Detroit was a disaster.
Remember, he was GM and coach. That didn't work out.
That was just a silly hire. But as the president, if you want to hire him as coach, I got that. But look, he was a good coach in Miami. We know the deal. Shaq thought he couldn't handle the pressure of, you know, getting close to a championship. And Pat Riley replaced him. And they go on to win the title. But he did a good job up to that point. He was good in Orlando. We saw that, Rob, with Dwight Howard and, you know, obviously.
And
that,
even
that
there,
nice
and I'm not
going to
blame them. They beat LeBron and them, Chris.
Right.
And remember, they made the lineup change, and I don't know if it was Stan or the front office. You remember with Skip Tumalu and Jamil.
They put Jameer Nelson in.
Jameer Nelson, who had missed 4 months, and just, I don't even, you remember that? That was the most mind-boggling thing.
I mean, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I don't blame their losing to the Lakers on that. But, yeah, I thought they had a shot in that series.
I did, too. I really did, the way that they were playing.
Yeah, but the bottom line is he coached well in those two places, but his last two stops have been horrendous. I'm going to be nice to him. I could be mean. You know, he likes to run his little stuff on Twitter. And he got mad at me when last year I said, look, Portland needs to look at moving on. Terry Stotts is a really good coach.
And
but,
I remember
you know,
that
because
he
right?
was, he came at all coaches.
Right. And what did they do this year? After another, mediocre season, they go out in the first round. They fire Terry Stotts. Nothing against Terry. He's a good coach. But, Rob, you notice sometimes it's just you need a new voice.
Right. And Chris, when you're a coach, it comes with the territory. Like,
right.
Like, let's not act like, oh, I you know, I've heard radio guys do this. I can't call for anybody's job or what. This is not – they get paid a deal of money, Chris, because of the, you know, not having the security.
He got $15 million coming, Rob.
Yes, stop. So
$15 million coming.
Not to work. And he'll be able to go to a media company outlet, Chris.
Oh, yeah, he'll be on ESPN. Now, right. He'll be on ESPN quick, fast, and in a hurry.
So
don't shed
that.
Any tears right. for him. We all should be so lucky. But, yeah, so that's the deal. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see who they hire. You know, Jason Kidd obviously has been out there. Is he a guy? Do they look at him as like, you know, could he help Lonzo Ball? Obviously, he's an ex-player, Rob, and, you know, so he's got respect from the players. Be interesting. I don't know. We'll see what they do. But interesting with, like, if you're a Chauncey Billups, and all the talk around the league, Rob, is he's getting Portland.
Is that what
does
it is?
That
Chauncey,
look,
you remember he turned down the Cleveland GM job, and I guess they didn't really, I don't know what the
move.
They lowballed him or something money-wise.
Yeah.
And he's assistant with the Clippers now, right? So
the talk is he's going to get Portland, but we'll see. Would you rather Portland or New Orleans if you were Chauncey?
Oh, wow. Well, Portland, you got a bona fide star.
Right.
And you got, in New Orleans, you got a number of guys who could wind up being stars.
You got one that, looks like he'll be a definite star.
You know what I mean? But Portland is in a better spot, Chris, and, you know, they've made the playoffs the last couple of years. They went to the Western Conference Finals, right? Wasn't it 2 years ago?
Yeah, but don't you think there's a ceiling on them? I mean, if everybody was healthy in the West.
But New Orleans hasn't. You just don't know about those young kids. You could go down there, Chris, and be done in 2 years.
Yeah, I love Dame. I think I might rather New Orleans.
Wow.
Just because of the
you
potential,
just want
obviously,
gumball.
Zion.
You just
well,
want
that,
gumball.
Yeah, and Beignet, no doubt. but Zion, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo's become, you know, solid. I mean, they got some talent, Rob. They do have some talent in New Orleans. So whoever gets it, I think it's a good job. All right, 2 hours left of the Odd Couple. The Atlanta Hawks and Philadelphia 76ers just got underway. Lock it!